We are good to go. Thank you.
Okay, I think you can start.
Okay. Good evening. I'd like to call the regular meeting of the Oceano Community Services District to order for Wednesday, October 14th, 2020. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Director Gibson.
Here.
Director Villa.
Here.
Director Plogel.
Here.
Vice President White.
Here.
President Austin.
Here. Okay, that brings us to the flag salute. So if you'll just join me, I pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America,
and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Great, thank you very much. That brings us to agenda review. Is there anything anyone wants to change on the agenda? Okay.
I wonder if we should move up the water protest hearing because I think some people may be here for that instead of saving it towards the end.
Does anyone else want to do that? Any other? I don't see anyone else wanting to change the agenda. So did you want to make it a motion or?
Well, if no one else wants to move it.
No, I support moving it up. If people are waiting, if we have people waiting to do that, we should maybe.
Okay, so I have a consensus. We want to move it to the, instead of 8A, we will take item, the hearing first. Is Mr. Clemens, is there any reason that would not work?
No, it was noticed for 6 p.m., so it can happen anytime.
Okay. All right, so if everyone agrees, then we can go ahead and change item 10A above item 8. Okay, so can we get a motion then?
I move that we move item 10A to before item 8 on the agenda.
Second.
Okay, may we have a vote, please?
Director Plogel?
Yes.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
President Austin?
Yes. Okay. That brings us to report out of closed session from September 9th, 2020. Mr. Minery?
And the report out of closed session is no reportable action, which is indicated on the agenda as well.
All right, thank you. That'll bring us now to public comment for items that are not on the agenda. So this is for members of the public to address the board for any item not on the agenda within the jurisdiction of the district and allowed to 3 minutes.
Yes, and just to remind the public, it's *9 if you're on your phone. If you're on your computer or mobile device, you can hit the raise hand button, which is under the participants tab, and that'll notify the host you have public comment. And with that, I have one hand raised as of now, and I will allow Ms. Castanova to speak. And I will start a timer. Lucia, I believe you're still mute. There you go.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. I'm speaking for the Oceano Beach Community Association. We received a grant last year, a small grant. I think that after tax and all that stuff, it's about $2,800 for beautification of Oceano. We want to make some murals. So it turns out that after the budget was done, we have just enough money for 2 murals. And we're going to do, for sure, the Chacho's wall, and then we're thinking about La Tapatia. However, our artist wants to really do, and we think it's a good idea, the old firehouse, to make a nice big old mural right there at the entrance of Oceano. However, we only have money for 2 murals. So And I remember that before COVID, you board were thinking about doing something about the fire, the old firehouse. I know that it was painted, but I remember we talk about even doing a mural on it. So what I'm asking you now is, the association only has money for two murals, and but if you still want to go ahead with doing a mural, or if you ever thought about it, I'm asking you, would you like to do a mural on the firehouse? So if you do that one, we are not going to do it, and we can do La Tapatia. Then we have three murals in Oceano. But if you are, if you were just talking about it and you changed your mind, that's fine. We only have two murals. I'd rather have three. So what I'm asking you is, can you put it on your agenda and let us know what that talk was about? Were you serious about doing a mural on the firehouse? Do you think it's a possibility? Maybe you can answer now, or maybe putting on, we're not in a hurry, but you know, we would like to get those murals done.
Hey, very good. Thank you, Lucia.
Yeah.
Is there any other public comment?
And with that, that is the only hand I have raised. Thank you.
Okay. Could we answer Lucia, because we've gone on record as, yes, supporting a mural for the firehouse, so we can at least say that.
Let's put it on the agenda. We can discuss it, because we do, there is discussion of putting a mural on the firehouse, and I think the two, well, we will discuss it, and we'll put it on the agenda for our for the next meeting. That would be great.
Well, if I could just jump in, I think Ms. Castellanuovo, if I said that right, just wants to know if we're intending to discuss that in the future, so that she knows. And I think from past board discussions, it was always the intention to eventually do a mural, but it was something that would have to go out to RFP. So that's kind of where we left it, and we'll be, you know, bringing that back at some point in the future, and maybe that's good enough for her purposes. I don't know.
I think so. Yeah, I think that will work, because we are going to put it out for proposal, but it probably won't be till after the end of the year, or even the first part of the year. We have done the basic painting of the building, and that mural RFP was the next step. So we do intend to do that. So if that helps. Anyway, okay. Shall we move on now to staff reports? And I believe our Sheriff South Station is commander.
Are we going to move on to that hearing item first?
No, I want to do the Sheriff Commander Wells. He's waiting to give his report.
Okay.
Hello, thank you very much. Good evening, members of the board and the general public. My name is Commander Jay Wells. I was newly assigned to the South Station and took over command about 3 weeks ago. I'm returning, if some of you remember, to the South Station from about 5 years ago when I was a sergeant at the station. So I'm very happy to be back, and I look forward to the day that I can introduce myself in person and we can meet in public again. That would be great. I'd like to give a little bit of a report on some statistics from September of 2020. In the Oceano response area, we had 531 calls for service, 82 traffic stops, approximately 60 reports completed. Of special interest is our CAT detail has gone out on 19 different locations and times to contact our homeless and community and help them and gotten them some services and assistance. Our major trends in crime at the South Station, and especially Oceano, still tend to be narcotics related. A few assault cases, and then burglaries and thefts. Most thefts are under $400, so they're minor or petty thefts. But we have had several car burglaries in various areas. I'm currently out of the state right now, so I'm remoting in from the fine state of Ohio. But I'd be happy to take any questions about things that are going on, or anything you'd like to know about me or what's going on at the station.
And does anyone have any questions or comments for Commander Wells?
Vice President White, yes, I do. I know, because the people are going to want to know, is the sheriff making any statement or making any directions in regard to Halloween trick-or-treating? I know some cities are banning it, some counties are banning it. Have you heard anything, or is there anything we can tell our public?
I've not heard anything as yet, but that's something that I will look into and for sure communicate back to you. Generally speaking, the sheriff doesn't make those decisions or doesn't take those decisions lightly. It's certainly something we're concerned about with COVID and the current state of affairs. So I will certainly look into that and I can get back to you on that.
Thank you.
Hey, anyone else have any comments for?
Yes, welcome, Commander Wells. This is Director Uplogal. I was wondering if there's a good way for the community to contact you.
Yes, I can be reached at the South Station, which is my direct line is area code 805-473-7108. And I also have a county email, which I believe Mr. Cassiola has available to him, and he can certainly have read into the record. Or I worry about saying my entire long extension over the phone and it breaking up and having to repeat it 3 or 4 times.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, well, thank you very much. Welcome back to Oceano, Commander Wells. I look forward to seeing you around town. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I look forward to being, I'm very happy to be back and look forward to working with all of you.
Great. Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Okay. Now, we moved 10A above 8. Do we want to skip the reports and go right to the hearing right now? Is that what everybody wants to do? Or go do the reports?
I think we can get through the reports pretty quickly.
That's done, yeah. Okay, so is Chief Lieberman here?
Chief Lieberman does not have a report tonight.
Okay. Tony Marciano?
Good evening, Board. Tony Marciano. All right. We've been doing our samples, weekly and monthly samples. We've had 18 work orders, 14 USAs, 11 customer service calls. We had 0 after-hours call-outs. We just completed our 3-year lead and copper throughout the community. We are focusing on sewer jetting, quite a few meter change-outs. The county paving project is still in progress right now, and some of our utilities have been raised after they paved. We are still working on trash. We did first of the month equipment runs. We've been, we cleaned all the sewer laterals. There were issues, our hot spots. We completed our UCMR samples. We've had to clean out the lift station. We had meter reads, and we had to notify leaks to customers, rereads on highs and lows. And Lopez is currently at 43.5% full, which is 21,485 acre feet. We had 0 SSOs in the month of September. And that completes everything. Any questions?
Okay. Anyone have any questions for Tony?
Hi, Tony. Did you find anything interesting when you cleaned up the lift station? Or is it just the usual wet wipes and such?
You know, since the campgrounds have opened up, we found a few more of those lids that camp trailers and RVs, when they tie into the hose for the wastewater, some of them get dropped down in there and they get caught in our baskets at the lift station. A little bit more grease than usual, just because there's more and more people now coming to the campgrounds since it's opened. A little bit more maintenance is being involved.
Okay, okay? Anyone else have questions?
Yeah, I had a question for Tony. Can you explain what the 3-year lead and copper is?
So lead and copper is a requirement that we have to do every 3 years, and it's throughout the community. It's designated homes that are built in a certain time frame because of the lead soldering that can leach into water. If the water has been sitting in the home's pipes for a minimum of 6 hours. So we go and test these homes, and then we mail the results back to the property owners or the renters that are at that location.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, anyone else have any questions for Tony? Okay, then we'll move on to our general manager, Will Clements.
Okay, so since our last meeting, we've really been focusing on infrastructure, as you can tell by a couple of the consent items tonight dealing with grants. We're applying or hope to apply for a CDBG grant for our water tank rehabilitation. And we're also working with the county on the integrated regional waste or water management grants, Prop 1, for our projects 1-9 and 1-2 down at the corner on Highway 1. The $274,000 grant we have tentatively received, so we're working through the items that we need to get done to receive that grant, and one of the items is on the agenda tonight on consent, and the next item that would come back would be a formal grant agreement with the county. So focusing on our infrastructure, also have been focusing on our water rate increase process, addressing issues as they've come up and answering questions. And of course, that is our hearing tonight. I also attended a very interesting two-day webinar put on by the Environmental Protection Agency about earthquake resiliency and various mitigation measures that can be taken for water systems. So it was very eye-opening on the assistance that's provided not only from the EPA, but also through FEMA and the U.S. Geological Survey. Some tools to help us analyze the risk to our system from earthquakes and what we could possibly do to mitigate those risks. And that will help us, I think, as we move into our construction of our CIP projects, in making sure that we're addressing the right projects. And with that, I'll end my general manager's report.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Clements?
Yeah, Mr. Clements, have you used any of your expanded COVID powers in the last month?
The only thing we continue to do is waive the late fees for those who pay their bills.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any questions, comments? Okay, then we will move on to our board of directors and outside committee reports. So up first is Director Villa.
Hi. All I want to say is that on the first, we had our candidate forum for the LCSD hosted by the League of Women Voters in conjunction with the Oceano Advisory Council. I was very, very impressed on the professionalism of not only the League of Women Voters, how they conducted the forum there, but also on our candidates. And I want to thank everyone, all the candidates that participated, all but one didn't. Just one candidate didn't participate. And I want to thank you for informing the community of Oceano on your how you stand on different positions and issues. And hopefully we can do this on a yearly basis because it introduces the candidates and gives people in Oceano an opportunity to get to know the candidates. That's it.
Thank you. Director Gibson.
Can you hear me now?
There you are.
Okay. So on September 16th, I attended the SLO South County Sanitation District meeting in place of President Austin. And we had three things, three action items that night. One was to authorize a contract for biological monitoring services on the wastewater treatment plant redundancy project. Such a long name. The monitoring is required by CEQA, and it involves a pre-construction survey for a red-legged frog, nesting birds, etc. It provides worker environmental awareness training for all contractor personnel so that they know what to look for. Monitor for presence of special species. Monitor all construction activity and keep daily field notes. And so that was a 3-0 yes vote. Then next, we discussed the digester number 2 cleaning project. Basically, the district had a lease option agreement with Petroleum Solids Control, Inc. for a centrifuge. And since the expected digester cleaning project would take about 8 months, the lease option would cost $215,000. Since that amount would be over the budgeted amount of $200,000, the district opted to purchase the centrifuge in the amount of $155,000. So that's a nice savings of just over $60,000. And that was a yes vote, 3-0. And next was an authorization to contract with Coastal Hazards Monitoring Services for $66,000. That's to meet regulatory conditions of the Coastal Development Permit. And that's basically collecting regional data such as tidal wave elevations, wave parameters, temperature, evaporation, precipitation, etc. And that was passed 3-0 vote. And then on September 17th, I had a Zone 3 meeting. And that was basically updates on operations, the water plant, reservoir storage, downstream releases, et cetera. And we approved moving forward with the CEQA evaluation of changing existing water supply contracts to be able to store more water in the reservoir year after year. And that will go to the Board of Supervisors. And lastly, on September 30th, I had the state water subcontractors meeting, and we did updates on, water delivery, water management, contract amendment, water management tool studies, and then on November 17th, the Board of Supervisors we'll discuss the Delta Conveyance Project. This is the opt-in opportunity that has been discussed before by our board, and that would allow us to continue with the Delta Project. And those are my reports.
All right, thank you, Shirley. Let's see, Vice President White.
Thank you. First, I would like to explain to the public, I was very disappointed with the League of Women Voters Forum in that there were no questions asked about the future of the fire service for Oceano, which I think is one of the critical challenges we're going to have for the next 2 years. And I wish the question had been asked is all. And then I'll go on with my report. Five Cities Fire Authority met in regular session on September 18th, Fire Chief Steve Lieberman reported by telephone because he was serving with an outside agency in logistics assignments in Redding for 21 days. He was still Fire Chief in Oceano in Grover Beach and Rio Grande, but he was also serving up in Redding trying the battle for those fires in logistics. And so he reported from by telephone. And we did two major things. One, and it's kind of sad, we declared some computer equipment and fire engine number 6694, the old LaFrance fire truck from 2004 from Grover Beach Fire Department was declared obsolete. And it was taken by a trailer down to Los Angeles where it'll probably be cut up for parts. But it was unrepairable. The LaFrance company has gone out of business. There was no way to get parts. And so engine the old engine, I think it was fire engine 4 for Grover, was gone. We also approved an employee compensation program for exempt employees, the battalion chiefs and the fire chiefs, for overtime while they're serving outside agencies, such as what the Cal Fire assignment that Chief Lieberman had. And the money for that comes from those agencies. But I know Chief Lieberman was working 16 hours a day. And so we approved the special compensation package. It's separate from the routine stuff they get paid for Five Cities Fire Authority. Anyway, any questions?
Well, we'll go on and finish our, finish the reports. So Director Replogle.
I have no report.
Okay. Then I'll give my, I have a report for the South San Francisco County Sanitation District. So we had our meeting on October 7th. Everything, the plant, everything's running very smooth at the plant. They're following all the COVID procedures and everyone's healthy. We had a discussion. It was a receive and file, and it was an update of our redundancy program. And so the our general manager gave us an update and a special thanks to the project team from 2016. Listed everybody that has been involved with the project from that date. And as it's getting ready to move forward, the bid opening will be on November 10th. And there are 5 pre-qualified contractors. And then the notice to proceed is scheduled for January 4th of 2021. And then the construction will be completed by June of 2023. And in this redundancy program, it's also installing a flood protection for, and it will cover for a 100-year flood event. I think that was it. We just had the update on the redundancy. So other than that, that's all I have for the sanitation district. Is there any public comment on the special presentations, outside committee reports, or the staff reports?
Carrie, if you don't mind, I know that one member of the public had a hard time getting in on the phone, so if you could remind the public again how to participate by phone.
Yeah. So just to remind the public how to give public comment right now, you would hit *9 on your phone. And then if you're on your computer or your mobile device, you will go down to the participants tab, which is at the bottom of your screen, and it's towards the left. And under that tab, you'll see a raise hand button. So with that, I have one hand raised and I will start my timer and unmute the first speaker.
Good evening, Ms. Julie Tacker. Hello, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Terrific, thank you. Hey, couple of questions with regard to the board members' reports, committee reports. There's, relative to the Five Cities Fire Authority, I saw on the Arroyo Grande agenda that there's an amendment to their agreement with Five Cities Fire in order to pay for building a fence. Maybe Ms. White could expand on that and let us know how much that's going to cost Oceano contribution. Then my questions about Shirley Gibson's report on the sanitation district.
I'm a little perplexed as why she is the alternate. For Ms. Austin, because she lives in Halcyon and doesn't use wastewater services from her home in Halcyon. I understand she does have properties in Arroyo Grande and that somehow that being a customer there qualifies her to represent your district at the sanitation district, and I would disagree. With regard to Linda's presentation with the sanitation district most recent committee meeting, two of your meetings ago or 2 months ago, I asked what the last project price estimation was, and she was going to get back to either me or all of you, whoever might be interested in what that project cost is going to be. And then I've asked before but haven't heard if the district, your district, would receive a fractional reduction in sewer rates related to the disadvantaged community status that will get a grant from the USDA. I think Oceano should realize that savings that low interest loan will provide to the project. If you have any questions about that, please ask, and I'll try to be concise in another explanation some other time. So those were my comments. Thank you very much.
Okay, is there any other public comment?
And that is the only hand I have raised. Thank you.
Okay, so I can answer. As far as Shirley Gibson, the Halcyon is a part of this district. So for her to sit on that seat is totally within our purview. And the project cost for the redundancy it's a $29 million project. And I can maybe elaborate a little more too. Our coastal development permit is good until the year 2047. And at that time, we are to evaluate the potential costs and benefits and options and feasibility of relocating the plant. Because we hear a lot about, you know, why do you want to do this redundancy project when you should just relocate the plant? Well, just the planning level cost to look into the relocation is $150 million. So for a $29 million investment in redundancy and flood protection, it's going to ensure that we continue to protect our coastal resources and allow the maintenance and maintain the district's very low rates and charges. Okay. So that's hopefully answers the questions.
Karen White, the fence that Arroyo Grande is buying, it's around the Arroyo Grande Fire Station for security.
Thank you, Ms. White. Okay, any other comments or questions from? All right, then we will move on.
Maybe yeah. public comment. Is public comment over on the staff sure. reports?
I believe so. Carrie, okay. Can you confirm
Thank that? You.
Thank you.
I only had one hand raised.
Oh, okay. You say you have it.
Sorry, I only had one hand raised and okay. They already spoke. Sorry.
I get confused on that, hands that show up.
Okay. All right, thank you, Carrie. Okay, let's move on now we will open the hearing. Item 10A, so I'll start with, I will announce the hearing. Is to consider protest to a proposed increase in water system rates and charges, and if no majority protest exists, recommendations to approve, number one, a resolution adopting findings in support of an ordinance increasing and adjusting water system service charges, and number two, an ordinance increasing and adjusting water system service charges, and number three, find that the ordinance is exempt from CEQA. So I will now ask our general manager to give his staff presentation, please.
Yes, so now that the hearing is open, typically we would do this here at the district offices and people could submit protests right at the hearing. So We're trying to do that as, you know, model that as closely as possible with our current virtual meeting. So we are still accepting protests here at the district office, 1655 Front Street. So if there's anyone listening that has not submitted a protest but wants to, I would recommend that you come down immediately to our offices and drop that protest off, because we will close the hearing after public comment, and there won't be any more opportunity to submit protests. So that having been said, I just thought we'd review how we got to the point where we are today with our water rate increase process. Really, I believe it's, you've been discussing it probably for several years, and the need for a rate increase even before I began my employment. However, we have finally got to the point where we have to take action to increase rates before the drought rates that were put into effect 5 years ago sunset. So on July 8th, 2020, your board at the board meeting of that date gave policy direction on various items related to the rate structure, how to phase in the rate increase over time, etc. And so staff took that board direction from the July 8th meeting and prepared a rate analysis for our water rates. At your meeting of August 12th, 2020, your board introduced the rate ordinance and authorized the really beginning of the Prop 218 process and sending out the legal notices of that of this hearing today. Those legal notices were mailed on August 14th, 2020, which, by the way, is gave two additional weeks than the required 45-day minimum notice period. Your board then held another meeting on September 9th to basically give an informational session on the rate increase and gave the public the opportunity to ask questions and have those answered. And that was done on September 9th, as I mentioned, which brings us to today's public hearing, in which we're going to consider protests against the rate increase. So there are 2,689 parcels to which this increase applies. Therefore, 1,345 valid protests are needed on parcels for there to be a majority protest. So if there is not a majority protest at the end of the hearing, your board should consider on whether to approve staff recommendations, which include adopting the attached resolution with findings and in support of the ordinance increasing and adjusting water system services charges, adopt the attached ordinance increasing and adjusting water system service charges, waive the reading of the ordinance, and find that the ordinance is exempt from CEQA. So with that, I think that is really all I have as a staff presentation.
And if I might, General Manager Clemens, an appropriate motion could just be to approve a staff recommendation with a roll call vote. That would be the easiest way to go, if your board is inclined.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Clemens. Is there any board questions or comments of staff? Okay.
Oh, I did have one question for legal counsel. I wanted to make sure that we had properly followed all of the procedures for notifying affected parties about the the 218 protest, how to do that, that the water, you know, the notification of the water increase, including whether those notices should have been in Spanish as well.
President Austin, if I might, Director of Plogle, has discussed this with me. The notice that was sent out meets all legal requirements. To the extent your board decides in the future, if you want to ensure that there's a bilingual notification, that would be up to the discretion of the board. But I will ensure you that your notifications meet the government code requirements.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions?
I would just suggest this was a bit of a learning experience for me, and I think in the future it would be a good idea to provide in the notice information about how to lodge a protest, as well as doing that notification in both English and Spanish, given that we've got a substantial Latinx population, as well as other notices that we need to send out. I would like to see us have that as a standard practice to provide notices in English and Spanish.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? All right, then. I want to announce again that anyone who has not turned in a protest and wishes to do so can do it now by going to the district office. There are people there. And after the close of public comment, then we will close the acceptance of any protest letters. So at this time, I'm going to open this matter up to public comment.
Yes, and just to remind the public, it's *9 if you're on the phone. And then if you're on your computer or tablet, please hit the raise hand button under the participants tab.
Okay, thank you, Carrie.
So President Austin, if I might interject, maybe Mr. Clemens can explain if there was enough protests. You have to get to 50% plus one. So
I think that's coming after public comment, I believe.
I believe it is, yes.
Oh, do you want to have him explain that now? Is that what you said?
It might be good before public comment.
All right, Mr. Clemens, can you explain the threshold? Just the procedure of how many.
Yeah. I believe I did in my report, but to reiterate, there are 2,689 parcels, so we would need 1,345 valid protests in order for there to be a majority protest.
Okay, thank you. All right, we'll go back to public comment.
And as of now, I have one hand raised, and I'm going to unmute the first speaker.
Okay.
Ms. Tack. Ms. Tack, are you able to unmute yourself?
How's that?
Perfect.
Great. Thank you. and I'm really surprised if you only have one person calling in, because I know there are other people trying to get in. So there's something wrong on maybe your end or theirs. While I appreciate the board's effort to embark on a rate increase, I do think that the notice is wholly inadequate in that it doesn't tell the ratepayer what needs to be on their protest. You never let the public know that they couldn't send an email or couldn't fax a document in. Then you had a tent on your building for 4 days this last weekend making it difficult for people to get their protests in. And I think in light of this confusion, that you as a board, while your legal counsel tells you that everything is copacetic, you can find today's hearing null and void. You can stop this and go out again and be fully transparent. And I would ask you to do that, fully transparent, educate the ratepayers how to file a proper protest, because I don't know, because everything I read on your website doesn't explain what details need to be in a protest letter. Last month, you had an email from someone definitely saying they were opposed. Will that letter be considered? That was an email. Will that be considered as one of the protests? Did they identify their parcel? You know, they think they protested, but that email may not be adequate in the rules that are, assumed or legally adequate. You just never told them. You never told your ratepayers what you needed to make a valid protest. So I think there's a lot of confusion in your community, and you have that power. And I think in light of an election, the right thing to do would be to set this aside and renotice and do it again. You know, 45 more days won't kill you. It won't put the district in bankruptcy or the water fund, but you can do this very transparently, and I encourage you to do so. Thank you for your time.
All right. And then I will let the next speaker talk and start my timer.
Hi, this is April. Am I able to be heard?
Yes.
Hi there. I am April. I'm an Oceano resident, Five Cities native. Full disclosure, I tried to enter and participate via Zoom, and I keep getting this message saying, unable to join this webinar, the host, which would be the OCSD, canceled your webinar registration. I've tried multiple times, and it's still not working. So there are serious flaws in your system. There's very much a lack of transparency. With that in mind, I'm really curious as to why a month ago when I contacted the OCSD and pointed out this flaw in the system where you didn't tell us what it would take to provide a valid protest letter, what was required of it, you had the opportunity to enlighten at least one person, and you didn't. You chose not to. So it makes me wonder how many other people contacted you that you made no effort to educate on. So in essence, we now have a law that you can only drive 55 miles an hour down the freeway, but there's no sign that says it's 55 miles an hour. There's nothing telling us what a legal protest is, what's considered to be in that document for it to happen. And you guys have the opportunity to be transparent at all times, but you choose not to. And that's all five of you up there tonight. All five of you saw the same packet that we saw and never thought to wonder what it took to be an actual protest. I had people asking me left and right while I've canvassed running for the OCSC how to protest because they're very upset by this water rate increase. And unfortunately, when I go to find out the answer for them, there is no answer because you guys never provided one. So when I asked you for one, you still refused to provide one. So if you want to sit on your laurels tonight and pass this water rate increase, I want you to know and accept and acknowledge that you're doing it without the utmost transparency available to you to do that. You can do good enough for government work, which is what's happening tonight, or you can do right by the residents and be transparent and accountable for your behaviors that is allowing this to happen this evening. Thank you.
And with that, that is the last hand I have raised.
Okay. We'll give it. If somebody comes up, I think we can, if people are having trouble getting on, if you see a hand come up in the near future, let me know so we can make sure everyone gets a chance to speak. Okay, so that'll bring us to close public comment. And now we will close the time to submit the written protest. And then now I can ask Mr. Clemens to tabulate the protests received, please.
Yes, we've received 37 valid protests. And we also received 1,498 invalid protests that came in, were dropped off by the same individual. They were identical, front and back of the paper, and there was no identifying information as far as address or APN, but there was numbers written that appear to have come all from the same individual. So those were invalid protests.
Okay. Now we'll bring it back to the board. Does anyone have any comments or discussion?
Mr. Clemens, how many protests were not valid because they were unsigned or they didn't identify the person or the property, but there was an intent of a particular person to protest the rate increase, you know, by email or fax or?
The only protests that we received that were invalid were those 1,498 received at the district offices by that one individual. Everyone else that protested, if they did it in a manner that wasn't going to be acceptable, we told them how they could do it to make it acceptable. So they were educated on how to submit a valid protest if they desired to.
Thank you.
You did take email protest, did you?
No. So if somebody emailed a protest, we would contact them and have them bring it in with their signature and making sure it had identifying information on it. And then we would verify that with our records.
Okay, great. So they were contacted. Everybody knew if their protest was received or not. Okay.
And President Austin, if I might just inform your board and the public that the government code allows a protest, one written protest per parcel. And so that could be filed by the owner or the tenant of the parcel, but without some sort of identifying information, we can't make any sort of determination as to who is who and if they are even in the district.
Okay, thank you. Okay, does anyone else have any comments? Okay, so if there's no more comments, public comments been received, the number of written protests has been announced, so they do not constitute a majority. So I'm looking now, if there's not any more discussion, or I'm looking for a motion on this.
I make a motion that we approve staff recommendations.
Okay.
I'll second.
All right. Then we will call for a roll call, please.
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Oplogle?
Yes.
And President Austin?
Yes. Okay. Now we will go back. Thank you for all that. We will go back now to our 8A. Item 8A, I got my stuff turned around here. Where's my
agenda. Here we go. Okay, back to item 8A. That is the consent agenda. So A, B, C, and D, is there anyone that wants to pull anything off the consent agenda?
I don't want to pull anything, but I just have a quick question on 8C.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was wondering why we let the water tanks fall into such disrepair.
Mr. Clemens?
Well, difficult to answer that question since I've only been here for 10 months. But from the inspection, even though it does look fairly poor condition, the tank inspector said really they're in pretty good shape for their age. So while it may look worse than it really is, I mean, there are some serious corrosion issues that need to be addressed, but overall, the temporary patches that were done really provided the temporary solution to any health and safety issues. And so other than that, I would also add that the district for the last 10 years, as we've been discussing, didn't have any money in its rates for a capital improvement program. And that goes back to before 2010. So that's really what happens when you don't put money into your rates. Yeah, everybody can be happy with low water rates, but your infrastructure deteriorates, and that's what we've seen happen, and now we have a plan to repair those.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Clemens. Now, I wasn't here for 8A the minutes, so do I abstain from that? So we have to do that separately?
Perhaps you just abstain from that item when you vote.
Okay.
And I think it's fine. Just do it all at once.
Okay. Is there anyone else have any questions or comments on the, before I open the public comment on the consent agenda? Okay. Seeing none, then I will have open up the consent agenda to public comment.
Yes. And just to remind the public, it's *9 if you're on the phone. And then if you're on your computer or mobile device, it's the raise hand button under the participants tab. And with that, I have no hands raised.
Okay.
I make a motion we approve the consent agenda items.
Is there a second?
Second.
Cynthia, second it. We're breaking up. Okay, there's a second. Okay, so let's do a roll call, please.
Carrie, you're muted.
Thank you. Vice President White.
Yes.
Director Plogle.
Yes.
Director Villa.
Yes.
Director Gibson.
Yes.
And President Austin.
Yes, with the exception of 8A abstaining. Okay, so that brings us now to we had our hearing, so now we'll go to item 11, that is received written communications. Do we have any to report?
Nope.
Okay. How about late? Nope.
Yes.
You have something, Karen?
Well, I would just like to know about the abridgment of voting rights and radically polarized voting for the Oceana Community Service District listed as a late received communication. Can it be discussed?
That was from last meeting.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't get it in the agenda package last time, so.
Yeah, so it came in after our deadline for the last meeting, so our procedure is to simply attach it to the minutes for this meeting.
Well, it has some major errors.
Well, it's not on the agenda, so that's...
Okay, no, I know. I'm just saying. I just leave it at that.
Right. Next time it comes on the agenda, you can...
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Karen. Okay, so the other... our future agenda items, is there anything anybody wants to comment or add to? Seeing none. Okay, then. There's no closed session. Anybody want to move to adjourn?
Move we adjourn?
Second.
Okay, all adjourned. Thank you so much, everyone. Stay
cool, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye.